It's time for the one show that takes you into a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and we're going to be talking with Scott Hunter, author of Unshackled Leadership, about his unique process for coaches and leaders to achieve breakthrough results and outstanding performance. But hold on, we'll get to that in just a moment. If you're listening to this show live, then you are on octalkradio.net. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, www.thecoachingperspective.com. And also, while you're there, be sure to check out our archives to listen to some of our past shows and other great guests. Well, today's program, Unshackled Leadership and Coaching with Scott Hunter. Scott has been transforming organizations for over two decades through innovative programs that enable people in leadership positions to master the being of leadership rather than the doing of it. His process enables coaches and senior managers to shift the paradigm in which they operate so that they achieve breakthrough results and outstanding performance. He's the originator of the Unshackled Leadership philosophy, author of the book Unshackled Leadership, Building Businesses Based on Faith, Trust, Possibility, and Abundance. Well, what a positive outlook to start the day. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
Well, it's been a long time coming. I'm glad we finally got you here.
Well, I'm delighted.
Let's get started. Tell the audience a little bit about our typical question. What did you do before what you're doing now?
Well, I have a degree in engineering, and I have graduated from law school, and I spent 18 years in California as an intellectual property attorney, first with a corporation and then in private practice.
Whoa, I never even knew you were an attorney. You always seem like a normal guy to me.
Well, I have a lot of friends who are lawyers that are normal guys, so, you know, you never know.
Well, let me just apologize to our audience. Our producer has sent me a note. He said, Doug, are you in a tunnel here today? I'm recovering from a summer cold. I've lost my voice, so I'm kind of struggling with it. So I'm going to let you do the heavy lifting here today, Scott.
Okay.
What attracted you to coaching and training? I mean, what got you out of, obviously, a successful practice as an attorney?
Well, what got me out of it was that for the first 15 years, I wasn't very successful, and I really didn't know why. I had all the background and training one would need to be successful. I knew what to do, but I wasn't being successful, and so it was my own personal search for what it took to become successful and what I learned in that process that got me very interested in the whole field of personal effectiveness and personal transformation and how do you get to be an effective person. That I ended up being so fascinated by that subject that I retired as a lawyer so that I could literally pursue that full time. And as I got clearer and clearer about what it took to become successful, I decided that, well, a great way to create a new career was to use what I was learning for the benefit of other people, and that's how I got into coaching.
Wonderful. And when was that approximately?
Well, I retired from my law office in 1984, and I started my coaching business in the early part of, in the spring of 1985. So it was 27-plus years ago.
Okay. I'm sorry for asking that question. I know we get a little sensitive about those things.
Not a problem.
Okay. So tell us about your business, but also tell us, how has it changed from when you first started it in 85?
Well, I would say mostly it has evolved. The first 5 years I was with a group, and I really learned what I'm going to call the art and science of coaching. It was really purely coaching. And then around 1990, in a men's club in which we were really exploring the dynamics of human interactions, and so I add the relationship component to my coaching model. And then I guess all along I've always been interested in spirituality and the nature of us as human beings, you might call it a very philosophical approach. And so slowly but surely, the philosophical, spiritual, contextual element got introduced. And so now our work is kind of a blend of three disciplines. It's about coaching, it's about relationships, and it's also about fundamental human characteristics and, you know, what it takes to be an effective human being.
Sounds like we're going to have a good conversation about that today. So tell us more. What does your company do? How does it do it? And who are your clients?
Well, what do we do? We do coaching. We typically get hired by organizations that want to take their company up to the next level. In the early part of my business, I thought that the people who would hire us would be people who were not doing very well and were suffering or something like that, but I discovered that when people were not doing well, there was a reason why they were not doing well, and to turn them around was a lot harder than you would think. And so now we look for already successful entrepreneurial companies run by people. I mean, this may sound strange, but we look for entrepreneurial companies run by people with a big heart, who want things to get better for everyone. They're already going in the right direction, but they know something isn't working as well as it could, and they're open to being coached and contributed to, and they're fundamentally good, caring people that are committed to and passionate about their business and want to create a company that people love working for, and those are the people that hire us, and we basically train them in the Unshackled Leadership philosophy, and then we coach them in being effective in living inside that philosophy. And then what happens is when a client understands and implements our philosophy, what results is an organization where people get along extraordinarily well, work with each other with a high level of cooperation and teamwork. The company grows at a 2-3 times faster rate than they've ever grown before, and they do it in a highly profitable way, and people love working there.
So is all of your work through, I'm going to say corporations, rather than individual one-on-one coaching?
That is correct. In 27 years, I don't think I have ever had an individual client. I could do it, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me because I want to leverage what we're able to do. So we get hired by organizations. If we're going to train one person in our philosophy, well, we might as well train 10 or 20 or 30 of them at the same time. So we do a lot of retreats for management teams. We do all-day workshops for the people in the company. If it's multiple business units, we will go to each business unit and train everybody in the company in our philosophy. What's the most exciting thing is that about half of the people that go through our program say that where it's made the biggest difference is in their business life, but there's an equal number that say where it has made the biggest difference is in their personal life. They go home and they find that they're able to dramatically change the relationship with their children, with their spouse, with their friends. They feel happier, more excited, more enthusiastic about life in general. And so, our philosophy is, it's just easier and more effective to teach it in a group rather than one-on-one. So we really don't do one-on-one coaching.
And and let me just stick with this for another minute. Geographically, I know you spend a lot of time traveling, so your clients must be not limited to Orange County, let's say.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have an Orange County client right now, and it's the first time in many, many years. My clients really are all over the United States. I have lots of clients in Canada, Victoria, Vancouver. I have several clients in Toronto. So I do a fair amount of work in Canada, and I have clients in Pennsylvania, in Baton Rouge, all over the country. And the reason for that is in addition to being a coach, I'm a professional speaker, and I speak at conventions all over the country, and people come to the conventions from all over the world, and And I haven't started working with clients yet internationally other than Canada, but that is definitely part of the plan.
Okay, and it sounds like your professional speaking is really the driver for your client marketing.
Right. When I got into the coaching business back in 1985, I said, you know, what would be the most effective way to let people know about the work that I do? And I decided it was speaking and writing. So I've written hundreds of articles that have been published in publications all over the country, and I've always looked for opportunities. I've looked for particular markets for many years. Because I was a lawyer, my market was law firms. And so I would speak to legal groups all over the country, and that's what drove the business. And now speaking at, you know, on a professional level, that is the number one driver of clients to our business. People hear what I talk about at a convention, and they say, I want some of that for our company, and that's how we get hired.
Okay. And last question about this area is, where do you see yourself and your firm being in 5 years from now?
Well, my actual strategic objective, which is actually less than 5 years, is, let's see if I have that handy. So within 5 years, I expect to have the home office here in Orange County. Well, within 5 years, I would say probably 15 or more coaches in the United States, at least one coach in Canada, at least one in some European country, because it's part of our vision is to really take our work, which is so powerful and produces such amazing work, is to really take it all over the world. So we have people right now in Philadelphia, in Chicago, in Northern California, in Texas, and so the goal is to really have coaches all over the country, into Canada, and ultimately into Europe.
And Scott, I know you are a very astute businessman, so obviously making a profit is part of your plan. But besides that, what is it that drives you to create this kind of a vehicle?
When I first got into this business many, many years ago, I was in business with a man who was a very big thinker, and he talked about creating a world that worked for everybody and nobody left out. And that's been an inspiration for me for 27 years. I look at the world. It's not in very great shape. I don't think government is the solution. I think business is a solution. And so what drives me is that when we go into an organization, we create a group of happy, turned on, excited, enthusiastic, motivated people. And I figure if we could create that all over the world, we could change the world. So That's the driving motivation, is the whole idea of transforming the culture of business, which I think is really the only vehicle where we will be able to transform the world and create a peaceful world.
And you may have just answered this question, but I was going to say, what is your guiding principle? What experience or goal really drives or guides you through your daily decision-making?
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you read our purpose statement, which is right on our website, the simple version of it is we've come together to bring forth partnership in the workplace. And there's a whole section which talks about what that looks like and to express our commitment to excellence and integrity in all of our services and be abundant and prosperous and contribute to and enhance the abundance and prosperity of others. But the final statement is that one of our guiding principles as part of our purpose is to fulfill our soul's deepest desire to contribute to and create a world which we know is possible, a peaceful and loving world in which all people everywhere are honored, heard, appreciated, and safe. So it's right there in our purpose statement. It's the guiding principle, and that's what drives me.
Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Now, let's now that we've kind of got that background, let's talk a little bit about the unshackled leadership philosophy. You know, your coaching model is different from many other people's models, but it's really based upon your philosophy. You want to share that with us a little bit?
Well, you know, it's interesting. For the first 20-some-odd years of our coaching work, it looked like there was a number of separate principles which you applied would really create an extraordinary organization and transform people's lives. And I kind of hoped that one day I'd wake up and it was like all the pieces of the puzzle were in, I could see the big picture. And that happened about 7 years ago, 7-8 years ago, which is why I wrote the book Unshackled Leadership. And it really got very simple. And there's a number of ways I can explain it to you, but here's one way. You know, I'm sitting here in front of my computer, and my computer has hardware and it has software, and it has a number of pieces of software, and it'll do a number of different things depending upon which piece of software I would use. And I've got Excel and Word and QuickBooks and you know, Outlook and all of those. Human beings are very much like a computer. They have hardware, that's our body, and then we have a data processing, we have storage, we have all of the things like a computer. But the interesting thing is a human being is actually a lot simpler than a computer in a lot of ways, because there's only two programs that run a computer, run a human being, only two. And they're diametrically opposite, you know. And I can explain to you in a couple of different ways. You know, one is love, one is fear, one is positive, one is negative, one is up, one is down. There's two programs that run a computer. I didn't share this with you before, but I'll give you an example. There's a story in my book. I don't know if you or your readers, your listeners have heard this, but it says an old Cherokee Indian story demonstrates what I'm talking about. So it says, one evening an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside of people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside each of us. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Grandfather, which wolf wins?" And the old Cherokee replied, "The one you feed." So I hope that makes the point. Those are the two wolves that live inside of each human being, the two conversations, the two programs. And unfortunately, the one that people feed mostly is the one that he calls evil. It's the voice of the ego. It's about fear and scarcity and worry and separation and competition. And the problem is, when you listen to that voice, you're fundamentally afraid. You're never happy. You see nothing clearly. You make bad decisions, and things don't turn out really great. And that's the voice that most people listen to. So our work is all about having people understand how much... Well, a couple of things. One, number one is how much they're driven by that voice, what that voice is all about, what the result is when you listen to that voice. And then we teach people how to turn down the volume of that voice and turn up the voice of good and possibility. And that's why the book is entitled, you know, it's the voice of faith and trust and possibility and abundance. So rather than coaching people to become effective inside of the world of the ego, which is, I think, what most coaching tends to be, is we just teach people how to deal with their problems and how to be effective in the world of the ego. We teach people that you don't even want to stay in the world of the ego. We want to get you out of the world of the ego into the world of what we call your higher consciousness, because in that world, you see nothing but opportunities. You see nothing but it's all about possibility, it's all about oneness, it's all about make the pie bigger, it's all about faith and trust and abundance. And when you live in that world, you see things clearly, you're happy, you make good decisions, things turn out great, and you produce amazing results. So that's what our work is about. We have to educate people about these two worlds and then coach them in making the transition from the world of the ego to the world of their higher consciousness.
Okay. Help me with some sort of concrete business example of this, because I know you're not talking about just change the way you think and life will be better.
Right.
Obviously, you've got to do things. So Can you share some ways in maybe which in your work with your clients this change in attitude produces some concrete results?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that, Doug, is that when your attitude shifts, everything shifts. And one of the reasons for that is that, you know, I've also been studying quantum physics. And, you know, quantum physics is very fascinating. And when you study quantum physics, the bottom line is quantum physics teaches us that everything is energy. And the energy that a company creates is okay. really what determines everything. So I was explaining to a client yesterday that a company is like a pyramid. And at the top of the pyramid is the leader of the organization. And that from an energetic perspective, the energy flows into the organization from through the top, through the individuals at the top, flows down through the organization, and then out into space where it then gathers momentum and comes back in. So the energy is constantly circulating. So you would think, okay, well, I've got to do something different. Maybe not. Maybe not. Because when the energy shifts, when the energy that's going flowing through the organization starts going from fear and worry and concern and frustration and disappointment, and it goes to passion, excitement, and enthusiasm, what ends up happening is that when the energy flows through that organization and goes out into space, it gathers momentum in the arena of passion, excitement, and enthusiasm. So it's really interesting that I actually tell my clients, you know, don't do anything different than what you're doing. You know, just do what makes you happy. Do what your intuition tells you to do. Now, what we will do is work with our clients to get in touch with their vision for the future, really not a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, but we work with our clients to get clear about their vision. Just like you asked me what our vision is it's to change the world and to build a worldwide company. We start with our clients. Everyone has to get a real long-term vision. And then standing in that long-term vision and looking back from there, we will create like a strategic objective, like how much of that vision do they want to take on in 5 years. And then we will reinvent the company to be what it would need to be as it will be in 5 years. And then we tell the president of the company to start acting like that's your company. Just start acting like that's your company. And then pay attention and follow your intuition and do what there is to do. And it's amazing. It's just amazing. All of a sudden, doors open up, and they start seeing things they never saw before, and the effort and the struggle goes away. And if you'd like, I'll give you a classic example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I would. Great.
Okay. So in 2005, we were hired by a company. Now, you're almost not going to believe this, but we were hired by a company whose sales for five straight years were between $40 and $50 million. Never went below $40 million, never went above $50 million, and in their most profitable year, they made $300,000 on $50 million in sales. And unbelievable. And you could walk into that company, and you know there was something missing. You could feel it as you walked in. And then I started interviewing people, and I found out that the owner of the company was a worrier. His wife told me that he'd wake up in the middle of the night worrying about his company. And then the president of the company was frustrated because he had several business units. He wanted to get people working together. He couldn't do that. So the energy in the company was all about worry, frustration, discouragement, disappointment. That was the energy that these people at the leadership position were allowing to flow through the company. And so it kept recreating more and more of that. So we took the management team, stuck them in a hotel room in Green Bay, Wisconsin, taught them our philosophy that it's all about energy, it's all about excitement and enthusiasm and being passionate and all of that. We got them clear about their vision. They really saw that they wanted to take their really gracious philosophy and grow their company. We came up with a five-year strategic objective to be $150 million in 5 years, best-in-class possibility, and they walked out of that retreat after 3 days, like, get the lions and the tigers out of the way, because they were, like, ready to take no prisoners. They were excited, they were enthusiastic, they realized that they had to let go of the worry and the frustration. They were focused on their five-year vision, and the first year, their sales went up to 67 million. The next year, 89 million. The next year, 114 million, and over $5 million of profitability. And there's a video on my website where the president of the company says, "You know, we went back to work, and we had more exciting things happen. More doors opened up to us. More." He every week he would say, "I can't believe what happened this week. We had more opportunities come our way in the next 9 months than ever come in the next 9 years." He says, "And I didn't even go looking for any of them. They just showed up on my radar screen." And that's what happens when the energy shifts, when the attitude shifts, everything shifts. And it becomes like this playful game rather than all this effort and struggle, which is self-defeating. Because all that effort and struggle is in the world of the ego. The ego says, "Boy, if you don't get out there and make it happen, you're going to collapse. You're not going to make any money." It's all, most of the work that people are doing is all fear-based, scarcity-based. We've got to get people out of that world and into the world of excitement and faith and trust. And when we're effective in doing that, miracles happen. And that's just one example. I could tell you 50 stories like that that have happened every single time people have just adopted the philosophy, gotten excited, enthusiastic, focused on the future, stopped worrying, and amazing things happen.
Scott, you sort of labeled this as a simple philosophy, which, I would tend to agree that it's not complex to understand. But, and I can see people coming to a three-day seminar and really buying this, but what is your program do in terms of retaining that commitment to think differently once I've left the room and I'm back in my old environment with the old habits and the old pressures?
Yeah, so there's a couple of answers to that question. The first thing is when we sign up a client. And this has changed recently because I realize how critical this is. Because there's been occasional people that have left the program before I felt that they really should have. So from now on, anybody who signs up to work with us has got to be committed to working for us for at least a year. So that's number one. Because this shift from the world of the ego to the world of their higher consciousness does not happen overnight. In the three-day retreat, we lay the foundation. This is with the management team. We will then take groups of people in the company. If the company is small, we'll take everybody, train everybody in the company in our philosophy. We will give them specific practices to do every single day to reinforce it. We will typically stay in contact with the management team and the people, if necessary, on a weekly basis by telephone. 6 weeks later, we will get the management team back together for an entire day to see how they're doing. There's only so much you can teach people about the philosophy in one shot because there's a lot to it, and we only want to give people as much as they can handle it. So We in the first 3 days, we give them the basics, and then 6 weeks later, we get them together, see how they're doing with the basics, and then add another piece or two, take it up another level. Same thing. We will continue to work with the management team. That's where our coaching comes in. So what I said to you is what has our coaching be different than other people's is the first component is an educational component. We educate them in this philosophy, and then the coaching piece comes in where we coach them ongoingly on how to become good at living in that philosophy. So I just had a session with a client last week. I've been working with the client for a couple of months now, and the time between coaching sessions is getting longer and longer, but I continue to meet with the client on a regular basis. Because he happens to be local, and to continue to coach him in dealing with specific situations. We take actual, some things that actually happen in the workplace, and we use it as opportunities to coach him on how to apply the philosophy with clients that are at a distance away. One of my clients in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, I've been back there several times. Now we continue the coaching over the phone. So it's not a one-shot deal, and it doesn't happen overnight. We give them tools. We give everybody a tent card to stick on their desk that has literally has the philosophy on a tent card sitting on their desk so they could see it every day, because we've got to keep reinforcing it and reinforcing it and reinforcing it.
Okay, great. Look, I want to I want to come back and talk a little bit more about your coaching model, but let's take a break for a commercial, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
Do you recognize them in your office? It's a common problem for executives and employees everywhere. There's John, over there. He just seems to have his own vision. Unfortunately for you, it's not your company's vision. Then there's Mary, who always seems to fall short of what's expected. You've got people that need to turn it up a notch if you're ever going to hit your goals. The never-ending cost of losing people and having to train the rookies. You constantly worry about losing key people you have become too dependent on. Extended Disc is designed for business owners, executives, and employees just like you. Extended Disc provides you with information to make better business decisions with confidence. Extended Disc helps you and your organization to be more profitable by avoiding decisions that result in expensive mistakes, wasted resources, and time. You see the problem. Extended Disc, the solutions you need to push performance and growth. It's time you made a call to Extended Disc for the solutions you need. Extended Disc, toll free, 1-800-257-7481, or go to www.extendeddisc.com.
Would your business survive a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Okay, you're listening to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show. Let me just say our show is aimed at business coaching, C-suite, and the human resource communities. And our goal here is to introduce you to new ideas and resources by interviewing the top thought leaders in these fields. We believe that a stronger alliance between the coaching C-suite and HR communities will provide a happier, more productive workplace. And that's exactly what we're talking about today with Scott Hunter about the Unshackled Leadership Philosophy. Scott, thanks for being with us here.
I'm here.
Good. Well, look, you talked a little bit about what your program is, and you started to get into your coaching model, and we've talked about this, you and I, that your model is really different from most other coaches' models.
Well, at least as far as I know. I mean, I've been to programs where I see what some of the schools teach people, and it's a lot about asking questions and helping people getting clear about their getting clear about what they want in their life and making good decisions. And it's also a lot of it is about personal coaching. Now, I believe that you've got to coach the person because, one of the things that I say is that we help people understand themselves so that they can understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. So I understand the necessity for helping people understand themselves and be happier. The biggest thing is we just, after really exploring people, realize that pretty much everybody's got one thing in common. They listen predominantly to the voice of that ego, and when they listen to the voice of the ego, it's interesting, people hear the name ego and they think they know what that means, and I don't even think mostly people even know what the ego is and why it's so debilitating and why it causes all the mischief that it causes. So, our model is about helping people understand themselves at a very deep level and make the changes necessary, because if you're going to create extraordinary organizations, you've got to create extraordinary people. So we're in the business of creating extraordinary people who will then work together to create extraordinary organizations.
Now, you know, your work that you're talking about is with executive groups, with corporations, and yet we're talking about individual people that are part of this group. So how do you deal with the fact that while you're talking about changing the company's way of thinking, what you're really talking about is also going to have to impact and change the way they are individually thinking?
Well, it's the other way around. I mean, we work with the individual and change the way the individuals think. One of the most wonderful endorsements I got for my book was from Ken Blanchard, you know, the author of The 1 Minute Manager, one of the best known business authors. And I mean, he literally read my book and said it synthesized the best thinking and cutting edge leadership. And his comment was, not only does Scott expose our stinking thinking, he gives us the tools to fix it. So it's kind of like that. You know, people think in ways that disempower them. 80% of our thoughts every day are negative, disempowering thoughts. And people don't even realize that, and they don't realize how their disempowering negative thoughts cause mischief for them. And unless people understand that and start becoming conscious of how they think, they're not going anyplace. So one of the things that we say is that mostly people are unconscious, and we want to make them conscious of how they think, teach them how to think deliberately and consciously, because it's only when you start thinking that way can you really transform who you're being, and then you can transform your organization.
And you know, one of the things that, and you were saying it just before we went on the break, and I want to reiterate it again so nobody misses it, because I think it's really important, is that your model starts out with educating people and then coaching them to take advantage of what you've just educated them about.
Correct.
About changing the way they're thinking.
Right.
And to me, this is a very different perspective than many of the coaching models, which assume that the person already has all of the answers and doesn't need any education. You just ask them questions, and they'll be able to shift their way of thinking and come up with the right answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, for people who do coaching, that when you do that, that's it's a mistake to assume that people are going to be able to come up with their own answers. And I think that's what the existing coaching model is all about, is helping people come up with their own answers. And the trouble is, in the world of the ego, you can't come up with useful answers. You just can't. So unless we get people out of the world of the ego and into the world of their higher consciousness, in that world, boy, they come up with great stuff. But if you don't educate them and train them and transform their thinking, it's just not going any place. So, I think that's really the distinguishing factor of our way of working is that whole education piece at the front end.
Yeah. You know, I hadn't asked you this before, and there may not be a good way to answer this on the air, but obviously, when you're dealing with a group of people, the level of willingness to commit initially in those first couple days is going to vary. Some people are ready to jump on board and change is the greatest thing in the world, and other people are a long time skeptics about anything that's different than what they've been doing. How do you deal with that when you really have to get everybody on board to make this shift in the organization?
The answer that comes to me is that to a great degree, it gets sorted out in who chooses to hire us. So I find that an organization very much is a reflection of the quality or the nature of a leader. So, who hires us are leaders who care about their organization, care about their people, care about their product, care about their service, They're basically good people. And so when we get hired by those people, then we find that most of the people in their organization are basically good people. Now, I will tell whoever hires us that I cannot promise you that everyone who's there today will be there when we get done, because the saboteurs, the people that don't want to play nice in the sandbox that we're going to create, they will identify themselves pretty quickly, we'll find out who they are. And so, and when we find out who they are, that's going to be a good thing, because, you know, they'll identify themselves and they will leave, and it'll be a good thing for the organization and create a space for you to attract someone who is much more consistent with your philosophy. I would say that for every 100 people in an organization, maybe we lose one. It's really not that bad. I mean, I find that the vast majority of people, when they hear where we're taking them, when they start getting involved in the program, when we start doing our workshop, is very intoxicating. I mean, people have no idea where we're going. But we have some things that we do right up in the beginning about how we listen, which really wakes people up to how much they do listen to the voice of the ego. And when people see that and what it's costing them and how it's impacting their relationships and how it's making them unhappy, I mean, pretty much everybody says, wow, I mean, this is exciting. You know, they get enrolled pretty quickly in wanting to go with us. So, and it's really the unusual person that doesn't. You know, you open the door to heaven, most people are going to go in. And if they're kicking and screaming, well, okay, it's your choice.
Scott, I just want to take a moment and say, you know, you and I have kind of known each other for years through the coaching community. And my impression of you was you always seemed to be a guy that was a little busier than most other coaches, that you seemed to be doing a little more traveling. You seemed to have some larger clients. You seemed to be doing a little better. And I never could really put my finger on it. And one day you were nice enough to hand me your book to read. And all of a sudden, after I read the book, it made sense. I want to really tell our audience, you need to do yourself a favor and get the Unshackled Leadership book by Scott Hunter and read it. It is a great piece of work with a lot of information and some very thought-provoking conversations going on in it. So,
yeah, and the simplest way to get it and to learn more about our coaching, and I have CDs with different programs, or I have some audio programs. I've actually dictated the book, so for people that like to have someone read it to you, it's available as an audio book, and it's also available for every reader. So if you have a Kindle or a Nook or any of those electronic readers, you can just go right on and put in Unshackled Leadership, and it's there. So it's available in a hard copy book, it's available as an audio book, it's available as an electronic book. One of the places, and the obvious place to get it is to go to our website, which is just unshackledleadership.com.
Okay. Now, in case I've talked over you here on the show, is there anything else that you want to say that you haven't had a chance to say, or that I maybe interrupted you on?
Well, the one thing that occurred to me when you were talking about your experience of me being busier and different, you know, some of the other coaches you've met, I'm thinking about another reason why you asked me if we did individual coaching. And I for the coaches on the call, my feeling is that when you do individual coaching, there's almost only so much money that you can charge people, because people can only afford to pay so much for individual coaching, but which is one of the reasons why we don't do individual coaching. But when you go into an organization and the organization wants to become better, they want to become more profitable, they want to start growing faster, they want to have more customers, you know, when people can see a tangible benefit out of the coaching relationship, it doesn't matter what it costs. In fact, I never even talk to a potential client about our fees until after they've hired us. And they've hired us because they can see that there's something that they want, and we can provide it. And at that point, it's like, I don't care what it costs. If I can get my return on my investment, I want to hire you. And so you know, we can charge fees that are multiples of what the typical coach is that does individual coaching, and we can get away with it because with our philosophy, we put, you know, the clients produce amazing results. Our average client gets at least 10 times a return on what they pay us, and I don't know too many coaches that can say that that's the kind of results that they can produce.
Excellent. Well, look, Scott, I really want to thank you for being with us today on the show. It certainly has been educational and inspiring, and I would really recommend that people follow up on your offer to go to your website and get more information and explore it further. And I just want to thank you for becoming a member of the Coaching Perspective radio community.
Well, thank you very much. It's been, I love to do this, and it's been a lot of fun. So anytime you want to take the conversation deeper, let me know. I'll be happy to do it again.
I'll have to get my voice back to hold pace with you here, but yeah, definitely. Let's plan on doing it again.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks for being with us. Have a nice evening.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, we've been listening to Scott Hunter, author of Unshackled Leadership, professional speaker, coach, dynamic organizational change agent. If you're tuning in late, hey, you missed it. What do you want me to do about it? Well, what you can do is if you tuned in late, go to our website, thecoachingperspective.com. We'll have the show posted early next week, be the weekend to recover from my cold. We'll get the show up, and you can listen to Scott all over again or for the first time, whichever it is for you. I want to thank you for tuning in, just reminding you that here at the Coaching Perspective, we've been coaching executives and business owners for 18 years, primarily working with executive teams. That's our primary focus. We work with both existing and new management and project teams, and our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual members. If you are interested in appearing on the show as a guest, please contact me. Love to hear from you. We do have some spots opened in a few later in the fall. By the way, I think today is the first day of fall, so welcome to fall today. Hard to tell with the temperature the way it is. We will be dark next week, but I'll be back to you the first week in October and looking forward to sharing it. So this is Doug Gefeller, hoping that you've had a good time this afternoon, and that we have given you information that you can put to work right away. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.